The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good morning. Oh, great to be here to share with you on this lovely January morning. January is a time, isn't it, where we look a little bit forward and we vision about the year to come, the season to come. But it's also a time that we look back, we reflect, lessons learned that we want to take forward, highlights, blessings of the year that's been, the season that's been. It's a time for looking forward, it's a time for looking back. As I've been preparing, I've been reflecting a little bit on Rangeville's history. And I'm indebted to Craig Mason. I've been reading the book he wrote called Rangeville, A Light Upon a Mountain. Incredible story. I've only been skimming through it. I need to read it more thoroughly. But it's interesting as I consider the last 20, 30 years or so of Rangeville's history. It seems to me the last decade, relatively speaking, has been a time of rest and consolidation. An active rest for sure. But when I compare it with that period before, it's really hard for me to take in. Of course, for those here who lived that experience, then you will understand what I'm talking about. And it's very humbling to read about the stories and the incredible faith of Rangeville people. The amazing ministry of deliverance, setting people free. The incredible courage to stand obediently upon the word, regardless of the cost. And there was a huge cost to doing that. And I think there are those among us who still bear that cost. The willingness to sow and to give and to bless. Those 7 years when Rachel had no church home, when Rachel was moving from premises to premises, and I guess that meant a lot of extra work to set up and to pack up of a Sunday. It was a real challenge, I think, to ministries that had been growing and thriving. It must have really been difficult during that period, yet Rangeville continued to trust, and the leaders continued to walk by faith. They continued to believe in the prophetic ministry and the prophetic vision that they had received. They had the vision to purchase this land, and there were setbacks after setback after setback in this process. But they continued. And the vision to see this incredible facility come into fruition, as just as the prophecy said, fully funded. It was a miracle of the Lord. We are standing in a miracle of the Lord, and people like me are here enjoying the blessing, a blessing that is the result of the faithfulness, the sacrifice, the courage, the obedience, the perseverance of that generation, many of whom are still here, still serving, still blessing. It's a wonderful history to read about. But the sense I have as I've been preparing is that this is just the beginning. The Lord has more for Rangeville Community Church. There's a new harvest season coming, and the Lord is wanting us to prepare for that harvest season. A season of sowing, I believe, that the Lord is calling us to emulate the example that's been set for us. After all, we want to fully realize the vision that the Lord has for us. We're part of an expanding, unfolding vision at Rangeville here, to be a light on a mountain, aren't we? We don't want to leave any of that vision unrealized, any gifts unpacked, still in their wrapping paper. And so as I've been preparing, two things the Lord's put on my heart to share today. There are other important things, of course, but two things that I'd like to share with you. One is forward looking, of course, that's sowing. The other is more backward looking, honour and blessing. I think they're both important. So as I speak, please weigh what I say against the scriptures and also against the confirmation of the Holy Spirit in your own heart that this is a now word for Rangeville and for you personally. Sowing. We're in an agricultural region, aren't we? We understand that to have a harvest, you must sow. And any farmer who sows seed is looking to the harvest. They're sacrificing the seed that they could sell or consume for the sake of a future harvest. Now, some of us are on the land, many of us probably not. But the truth is we all sow our lives into something, don't we? Our families, of course, our homes, our careers, our health and fitness, our hobbies and recreation, they're all important things that we sow into. The Lord Jesus gives us an interesting picture in Luke 11 of a lamp that is lit and placed on a lampstand. And I believe that lamp is you and I. We come to faith in the Lord. He lights us up from the inside out. That was my experience. That's for the purpose of drawing to himself, isn't it? We shine to draw others. So he doesn't hide us away. Nor does he want us to become consumed just with the challenge of making a living. And I think that's what being under a bushel represents, because a bushel is a measure of commerce. It's used in international grain trading still today. It's about commerce, isn't it? Now, what the Lord does is place us on a lampstand. That's where we're going to shine most brightly. It's where we're going to most effectively draw men to himself. Now, of course, Jesus is also in that lampstand. He's in the middle, isn't he? And there's a picture of Jesus in Revelation 1 where he's walking among the lampstands, and he, of course, is in the midst. And those lampstands in verse 20 are identified as churches. And for us, practically speaking, in the 21st century, I believe that's talking about the local church. For us, it's Rangeville Community Church. We are the lampstand. And we shine most effectively when we are together in the church. That's where we most effectively draw men to the Lord Jesus Christ, and women and children and families. It's where we have our sense of belonging, isn't it? We belong to one another. And the relationships we share here are eternal relationships. It's where we use our gifts and callings most effectively to serve one another, as it says in 1 Peter 4. We have gifts that we serve. Our gifts are complementary, so we need each other. We need each other's gifts and talents and abilities. Now, of course, we can use our gifts and talents in all manner of spheres. We saw a wonderful testimony last night of healing of friends in a situation outside of church. And as it says in Galatians 10, yes, bless all people with your giftings, but especially the family of believers. For us, practically, of course, that's the local church. And as we bless each other, the church becomes strengthened, and it comes to a place, as it says in Ephesians 4, of maturity, of unity. As we mature into the vision, don't we, that the Lord has for us. We need to mature into that vision. The earlier part of Ephesians 4 there talks about the role of pastors and teachers and the prophetic ministry that's so important in this maturing process. And of course, Rangeville has a rich history of the leadership, strong faith-filled leadership, and also the prophetic ministry. Rangeville is an incredibly vibrant community, creative. And the Lord is calling us in this next season to increase, I believe. To sow for the next generation. That generation that the Father is raising up and bringing in. That generation that is in his heart. of Rangeville Community Church. But you know, sowing is not an easy process, not without its challenges. And if you haven't read Craig's book, I encourage you to do so. And I think sowing is a particularly challenging because it's challenging to our heart and it's challenging to our head. The heart is challenged because sowing involves death, doesn't it? Loss. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, what you sow does not become activated or effective unless there's a death. And that's hard. It's painful. And everything we sow into the church involves some loss. When we sow our finances, well, they're life-sustaining. There's a death involved. When we give our time and our talents, we get the kids dressed and fed and to church, or we get here really early, like 6, 6:30 for the worship practice or the tech team getting everything ready. There's a dying to that incredible Australian culture of Sunday sleep-ins and recreation. Sunday is often a day of rest and recreation, isn't it? And often after I share, people come and encourage me. And it's great to get encouragement. The interesting thing is sometimes when people are speaking, I sense something behind the words. I get the impression that the person encouraging me has had, and this is an understatement, their fair share of challenges, of troubles, of heartaches, of griefs, of disappointments. And there have been times when they've looked for encouragement and it has not been there. And they could be looking to fill up what they've lost themselves, but instead they're digging deeper and they're giving something to me. And I sense the death in that and the giving in that and the loving in that. Of course, it is an expression of love, isn't it? And if we look at the Hebrew word for love, it tells us something about that. The noun is called ahava, which is translated love, the verb form to love, ahav. But in the Hebrew, they have a literal meaning. Ahav means to give. And ahava means I give. Giving is an expression of love, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave. That's the greatest example of love that we have. He sowed, didn't he? He sowed his only son because he saw the harvest of sons and daughters, you and I. We're part of the harvest and we're also called into the harvest field for this next season, aren't we? A harvest of sons and daughters for the King. To shine on the lampstand here in Rangeville and to draw men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's challenging, and the head is not so keen on it either, to be honest, because the world we live in is risky, dangerous. The head helps us navigate safely through life. It helps us to see the dangers ahead, to make sure we have provisions for the rainy day, because the rainy day will definitely come. And the head doesn't want us to end up short, lacking. And so the head says to us, you need to hold on to stuff because the rainy day is going to come and you'll be caught short if you don't. Now, there are lots of ways we could provide an answer to our head. I thought I'd go with a bit of a fun option this morning, and let's look at the Hebrew language a little bit. Just as we saw ahava means love, let's look at the word for lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. What word was used there? The word is hasu. Now, Hebrew is interesting because the words are made up of letters, but letters have intrinsic meaning in the ancient Hebrew. So what letters make up hasu and what do they mean? They read from right to left, not left to right. There are three letters in the word, heth, semek, resh. And they have intrinsic meanings of life, support or supply and head. What are they telling us? When you rely on your head to support your life, you're going to end up in lack. So be careful. be a little bit careful about always listening to the head. It has its place, of course. But be careful. Now, is there another Hebrew word that gives us an insight into this, that starts with the same two letters, life support, but it gives us a third or a second option? And the answer is yes. There's a related word called hesed. Hesed. Life support, but the third letter, dalet, means door, doorway. What does that mean? Your life is supported or supplied by the door. I think Jesus tells us, John 10:9, I am the door. Your life is supplied or supported by me. When I talked in December, I shared about how we all struggle with limited resources and a lack. And the Lord's word to us is he understands that, but give the little we have into his hands. Just like the disciples gave those few loaves and fish. They put them into Jesus' hands. He broke them. And then he handed them back to the disciples. And they began to receive and to give. There was no pressure in that on them, was there? They were receiving and they were giving. That's a lifestyle of grace, isn't it? And of course, in English, that's what hesed means. It means grace or favor of God. That's a lifestyle. We receive the seed. If we're feeling pressure to give, that's probably or definitely not the Lord. We receive the seed. And in this season, I believe the Lord is going to increase the seed that we have to sow. As it says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, now may he who supplies seed, the Lord is the one who gives us the seed, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits, increase the harvest that comes from that increased sowing. It's all about receiving, isn't it? And sowing. It's about having a vision of the future, looking forward to the harvest. That's why we do it. That's why we sow, isn't it? It's for the harvest. It's for the next generation that is in the Lord's heart. And it's all about honoring him. That's our desire and our priority, isn't it? But we have to be careful. Even when we step out in faith, life has its challenges and the things that are urgent that start to pile up. And what that can do is push things that really matter down our priority list until they're a little bit lost. And one of the keys to blessing, I believe, is to honor the way God would have us honor. And when we get our priorities out of line, that can choke off blessing to some extent. And I'm an object lesson in that. I know that because it happened to me. I went through quite a season in my life where there was so much shortage, lack. Yet, I had a revelation of giving. From an early believer, I gave to the church because I believed that was how I honored God with my finances. So why was I suffering lack? I belong to a church that emphasized giving. Weekly, monthly giving of tithes and offerings, special purpose giving, like at the end of the financial year. That was our season for giving to the building fund. Highly worthwhile, after all, they had a vision to increase for the next generation. But I remember, because I was struggling, month after month, my bills were more than my income. I had no savings and I had a line of credit that was getting more and more negative. I remember the pressure of that season thinking and coming to the end of it thinking, I am so relieved this is over because I can't sustain this. It's not sustainable. I was taken aback, therefore, when the leadership announced a new offering drive. Pastors who did a lot of visitation needed new cars. That was worthwhile, of course. Did I rejoice? No. No, I got frustrated and I got a bit angry, really, inside. The truth is, at the heart of that was guilt, because I borrowed from my dad quite heavily, and for such a long time my heart was to repay. Month after month after month after month, I can't say how long, there was nothing left. And in my frustration, and I believe the Lord let me get that way because when I'm set in my ways, it takes a lot to budge me. I prayed, Lord, how am I ever going to honour and repay Dad when the church keeps asking for more? And the Lord answered, David, I've never told you that giving to the church like that was a priority of mine over honouring your father. Your problem is your priorities have gotten out of line, or maybe they've never been fully in line, and you need to change your priorities. Now, of course, the Lord reminded me of the commandment, honour your parents, that it may go well in the land, that your days may be long, that you may prosper. The Lord also reminded me that during his time on earth, he had to pull up the religious people quite firmly because they had this practice where they would set aside money for their parents. They called it Corban. There was no social security back then, but what they did was then siphon it off to the priests. The priests loved that, of course, but God did not. They were not honouring him, and they were not honouring their parents. And so after some soul searching, again, it took a bit for me to budge. I prayed a simple prayer to God. I said, Heavenly Father, this is the thing. Starting next month, I think it was July, I'm going to put aside money for my dad. And then through the month, I'm going to pay my bills. And if there's nothing left, there's nothing left. I'm sorry. I'll have to bear the consequences of that. It was with a fair degree of fear that I prayed this prayer. But that's what I did. I called my dad, and I think he probably fell off his stool because I'm suddenly prioritizing him. And I did that month after month after month. First thing, I would honor my dad. And that went on for a season until it stopped because Dad said stop. He would not receive anything more from me, and I had to honor that decision. The interesting thing is that I made one single payment to Dad in July. And probably the same week I got a call from my head of department saying, David, QUT have been on the line. They want me to teach a banking course at night, one night a week. I don't have time. You teach banking. Why don't you do it? And I was pretty dubious, but I got in touch with QUT and I said, listen, if I do this, it will be my course, not yours, because I don't have time to learn your course. You know, it was time for the new semester. And I will not mark it. You'll have to mark it. And surprisingly, they agreed. I went down week after week after week. I stayed with my dad at night, came back the next day, had a great experience. And that was a turning point, literally, in my finances. Suddenly, a doorway of blessing opened up. I don't know how. I just know my line of credit started coming down. I had more money to sow. And in a little time, I was giving more to the church, not less. Because I got my priorities lined up with God's. Now, why am I sharing this to you? Two reasons. The first is really, I'm really talking to younger people who are becoming more independent. And I know it's true, life gets pretty hard, pretty fast when you get independent. All sorts of priorities start piling up, urgent things, and life is not easy. But my advice to you is prioritize honoring your parents, because that will open up a doorway, a channel of blessing to you. With whatever you can sow, and please sow also into the church, honor the church, and other areas of your life that are important, but prioritize honoring your parents. More generally, though, as I've meditated on this over time, the conviction I have from the Lord is that it is not just biological parents. It includes those, but it is also spiritual parents. And for Rangeville, what the Lord has put on my heart is that generation, that faithful generation whose sacrifices, whose the cost that they bore, their obedience, their perseverance, that's the blessing we enjoy today. And Father, I think is saying to us, you must prioritize to honor that generation. Now, when I look at Rangeville Community Church, and I've been in a number of churches over the past, well, over my life, but certainly the past 40 years, Rangeville is a standout when it comes to honouring. Our care ministry is exceptional. I see it in the individuals in the church. And of course, I'm in life group with Jeff, and so I've watched Jeff look after Desley for so many years. And that's an incredible example of faithfulness, Jeff. Thank you for the example that you set. But to the extent that there are any among us still who have needs that are not being met, who might be a little bit out of sight, out of mind, that tells me we still have a little way to go. And it's a reminder, I believe, to us. Whatever comes in the next phase of the Rangeville story, let's make sure we remember to honour and to prioritise honouring. The second last time I saw my dad was in May, a number of years back now. And the last time I saw him was the month following. That was, actually no, May was the last time I saw him. That was in hospital. April was the second last time I saw him. I'd gone down with all my gear, and I was doing that periodically throughout the year for some time with all my gardening tools. He had a lot of hedges and paths, and there was hedging and edging and gardening to do, and it was a way I'd found to honour him, to sow into him, and it was a way he would actually accept. You know, he was that generation. It's not so easy to give sometimes. But that was what I would do, and the little habit we had was, as I was saying goodbye, he would always reach into his pocket, and he came from that generation that always carried cash, and he'd give out a little bit of cash to me. And I didn't like it, really, because I wanted to be the one giving to him. But I was not very good at arguing with my dad. I'd never won an argument with him in my life. So mostly I just said, okay, thanks, Dad. But on this occasion, he pulled out a 50. And something inside of me just said, no. David, take a stand. Be strong. And so I did. I said, Dad, I will absolutely, positively not take that. It's too much. Now, I could see the hesitation in his eyes and something else. I still wonder what it was, actually. But the hand slowly went back in the pocket. Out came a hugely crumpled, squished up 20. And I thought, great, David, grab it and go. He'll change his mind. And so I did. And I patted myself on the back the whole way home for this little win. Got home, unpacked, got out of my dusty clothes. It was a dry season. Emptied my pockets, put the money on my dresser. And as I did, I thought, you know, you get that sense. This is a bit heavier than a crunched up 20. It was three 20s. Three 20s. It is so very hard. Well, it's hard to outsmart a parent, but it is impossible to outgive a parent. And anything we can give and sow into that generation, it's a token, isn't it? It's a way of honouring. And you know, even if it were possible to do that, to outgive, God is not unjust, Hebrews 6, he will not forget what we do. Let's make a priority of honouring each other, and especially that generation. That's a bit to think about, isn't it? And to take in. So let's take a moment to reflect on what the Lord is saying to us, and then I'll stop and pray. Oh, then I'll pray, sorry. Heavenly Father, thank you for that generation. We cannot repay them what we owe, but we can honour them. May we prioritise this as we go forward. And Father, may we, not under any pressure, but as we freely receive from Jesus, seed to sow, may we sow that seed with the hope and the vision of a harvest, the next generation that is in your heart and in our heart. You're raising up, you're calling in to be part of the lampstand, to shine, to draw men to yourself. Bless the word that's spoken, Father, in this year. May the seeds of that word multiply as they find a place in our heart. May we receive the prophetic ministry also, and also honour the leadership who have had such courage and such strength as they've led us over the years, over so many decades.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.